Welcome to Blind Tag, the wrestling show for people who don't watch wrestling. I am your co-host. Actually, why don't you go ahead and introduce me to the fine people?
Oh, boy. Well, here in the studio, we are joined once again by the one and only, the man, the myth, the Malteser.
No.
Nope.
Why don't you go ahead and tell the people my title?
Ah, yes, of course, your title. This would be the reigning, defending, conquering, undisputed blind tag champion.
That's right, baby.
The Malteser.
The Malteser's back.
The Malteser has
and
once again risen.
He's got the title.
He's risen again. He's got the title back for the first time, the second time. I think this is your second.
I believe it's the first time.
The first time? I thought you won the first one. Well, I guess the Malteser.
I believe that was before the belt was established.
That is probably true.
And it was more of a personal, emotional victory.
more of a metaphorical victory.
More of a metaphysical victory.
There you go. Yeah. Malteser revels in metaphysics. So how do you feel as champion, Malteser? How does it feel to finally get that belt around your waist?
It feels pretty good. Let's talk about a championship. Let's talk about a clean win.
Yes.
How many of the No Mercy matches did I guess correctly?
I believe it was 6 out of 7.
I believe it was a little more than that.
It was.
I believe I don't remember how many there were.
There were 7 matches. I remember that.
Does that mean that you got one wrong?
Then you got 6 out of 7, which is what I originally said.
I don't know what happened in the pre-show,
and
neither do you.
Don't remember either.
And I don't remember who I selected as the winner for that one, so we'll call it a draw.
I believe you texted me and told me to that this match was happening, and then told me to pick whichever one I didn't pick, and
that
I didn't pick one
right
at all. So we just ignored that.
So
that
we
match
both won.
We both won. We're all winners here. We didn't watch it, so we all really came out on top in that situation.
Well, now that I'm the champion,
mm-hmm.
I have to say, mm-hmm. It's time for me to go die.
Okay, all right.
Farewell, Blind Tag listeners.
You know, they always say that you wanna go out on top, and what better way than to die?
It's better to burn out than to die.
There you go. That is how that saying goes.
I said then, not than. It's better to burn out and then die. That's the Malteser.
That's
baby.
The Malteser for you. Well, thank you for joining us, Malteser. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
Literally any time except going forward, because I'm now going to die.
Because you are now dying. Well, cool. I think that means Ron, you're clear to re-enter the studio. Ron, why don't you come on in here and join us? Welcome to the show, Ron. How you doing?
Hey, did you start recording?
Yeah. We kind of a little special guest intro there.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
I'll have to listen to it later.
Yeah, you'll hear it later. It was pretty fun. How you doing, Ron? How's life?
Oh, I'm good, man. You know, I just been hanging out, watching a little bit of wrestling here
cool.
and there.
Cool.
Doing some nothing. I don't
doing
know.
Some
I got
nothing.
Nothing.
as you are usually wont to do. Cool. Well, that's fun. No Mercy was last weekend. It's now 1 week since No Mercy. Wait, 6 days since No Mercy.
Mercy me, that is correct.
Mercy
yeah,
me.
We're here recording on a Saturday again.
Yeah, No Mercy. Heck of a show.
Yeah, I was pretty disappointed with the last yeah. couple of matches, but beyond that, it was pretty solid.
I feel like the first half of the show was like really, really great, and then the second half was a little bit of a letdown. I'm starting to like look back. I remember watching the Roman Reigns John Cena match and feeling like a little bit let down by it. But now that like I watched the kind of recap on Raw this week, I watched that this morning, and I feel a little bit better about it. But I still don't feel great about it. And I mean, I'm obviously disappointed that Braun Strowman didn't win, but you know.
Yeah, that was just stupid booking. And yeah. the Neville versus Enzo Amore, like
oh,
Enzo, like we said, I mean, I guessed it right. Enzo did some bullshit, and he
yeah,
fucking
right.
won.
I'm so deeply confused about this feud. You watched what happened this week, right?
Yes.
With Enzo and Neville. Okay, so there's just, I don't understand who's good and who's bad. It's like...
Well, let's break it down a little bit.
What okay, is, sure.
So, on No Mercy, Enzo distracted the ref, and then he kicked Neville in the dick, and then he
sure did.
Pinned him,
yes,
I guess.
He won. The classic dick kick.
The classic dick kick, and that's how he won it.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta stop talking about dicks on the show.
What? I mean, what? They're so relevant to the programming.
Fair enough.
It's actually kind of hard to avoid it.
Yeah, well. So, yeah, Enzo pinned Neville because
yeah.
of some bullshit, and then
yeah.
he won the title. Then So this week on Raw, Enzo is dancing around like a chicken, as Neville says. And then Neville came out, and he was going to, like, it seemed like he was going to attack Enzo. Mm-hmm. And then Enzo held up a contract. Yeah. It was like a no contact thing. Can you tell me about that? I missed whatever happened in between there.
Yeah, sure. So basically, this was kind of one of those, like, it was a B-plot weaving throughout the whole sort of Raw. Anyway, Enzo like started out and was the show and came up to Kurt Angle and was like, we gotta celebrate my victory. This is my first championship. I want to have a victory celebration here. A certified G celebration is what he called it. And Kurt was like, fine, sure, you can have a celebration, like, whatever, I don't care.
Whatever, idiot.
Yeah.
Just do whatever.
And then...
leave me alone.
Basically. And then they ran into each other again later, and Enzo was like, man, Kurt, like, I feel like a lot of people are pretty unhappy with me. I feel like a lot of people don't like me. So in order to protect myself and in order to protect your champion, I want you to give me a no-contact clause, which says that if anybody attacks me tonight, they lose any future chances at competing for the Cruiserweight Championship. And he was like most specifically targeting Neville with that and being like, if Neville attacks me, I want him to not be able to do this. Naturally. So Kurt says, fine. And then he also says, literally says, you're very annoying. And then that's like the end of the segment, which
that's
is pretty funny.
Pretty good. I didn't see that, but
it was good. So yeah, that was the clause that that Enzo was holding out and waving in Neville's face and trying to get him to not attack him.
And then Neville beat the hell out of him and stuffed the paper in Enzo's mouth and kicked him in the face.
That was really delightful.
So I think this is playing into my theory of Neville loses the belt and just says, fuck it, I'm going to Raw. Like, I'm going to go win an actual
title. Oh, interesting.
Like, now he's no longer allowed to be the Cruiserweight champ, right?
Yeah. That is, like, basically, yeah. Wow. Interesting. I didn't think about that at all.
Yeah.
Because they were saying, like, on the commentary.
Got another one.
There you go. They were saying on the commentary that, like Neville just forfeited his chance. And I was just kind of assuming that they were going to, like, find some way to kind of, like, I don't know, write that out of the story or whatever. Might. But yeah, which is definitely still a possibility. But I do like your theory. That's a good idea. If Neville is just like, you know, he cuts a promo next week and he's like, I don't care. I'm done. I'm going for something else. But then again, I don't know exactly where he would go, because The Miz is kind of feuding with Jason Jordan for the Intercontinental title.
Right.
And he's also defending it against Roman Reigns next week, which is kind of interesting. Or no, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, Roman Reigns.
The Miz?
Yeah, The Miz is defending the Intercontinental Championship against Roman Reigns next week.
At Raw. Oh.
Just a regular old Raw. It was a match that got made this week. So I don't know if you watched the segment, but the opening of the segment was Roman Reigns was on Miz TV.
Yeah, I did see that. It was a pretty good one.
Yeah, it was interesting. And later on, you know, they got to fighting, and then they had just like a regular old singles match later, and I think Roman Reigns won, and then the Miz came out and attacked
him. Beat the hell
out
of him. Yeah, Miz.
Right. It was very satisfying.
Pretty good, yeah.
As much as
I like The Miz and don't like Roman, that was pretty satisfying. Oh, yeah,
absolutely. Miz is a very punchable character. Like, that's kind of his whole shtick.
Yeah, but if you're trying to put Roman over, like, don't have him fight The Miz.
I mean, I don't know.
Everybody loves The Miz.
You said everybody loves The Miz?
Yeah.
I mean, they do, but I feel like it's a love to hate him kind of thing. He's a very punchable character, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
He lives to make us annoyed.
He's
and
got
want
a baby on the
to
way.
Get beat
Leave
up.
Him alone.
Oh, sorry. You're right. I should be more respectful.
Be respectful of The Miz.
He's got a lot of... I think that's like... I don't know. I think that's kind of what they're trying to do with Enzo, is to be like, he's so unbelievably hateable that like that kind of gets him over and gets the division over. But I don't know. To go back to that, like, I'm just so confused about what's going on, because like Neville is still very much working a heel sort of character, but at the same time, like, Enzo is being a total tool and being a real heel and like cheating to win and stuff like that, which is like what heels do.
You said this earlier, it's not clear who's the good guy and who's the bad guy in this feud. I mean, I feel like Neville is just like by nature a heel because he's like gross and like angry and but this is definitely like... This feud makes me like Neville a lot more.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just because I hate Enzo so much or just because, like, this really does feel like, well, this guy came in and stole his title. It's not like a clean win by any means. It's not a fair fight at all. It's just, like, some bullshit happened, and now Neville's not the champion, which I, like, even if I didn't like Neville, like, yeah. I like this even less.
Yeah, right. Well, and I was kind of wondering if this was going to be a sort of double turn kind of scenario where Enzo does something to turn himself heel and that, by in consequence, turns Neville face. But again, like, Neville wasn't, like...
Is kicking he was still Neville working in heel. The crown jewels, mm-hmm. as he says, is kicking him in the genitals and then stealing his title not a heel move?
No, it is a heel move. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying Enzo did a heel move, a very despicable act, if you will. And in other feuds, that could theoretically turn both of them. Like, Enzo would then turn heel and Neville would turn face. But, like, Neville... I don't know. Maybe they are going to start billing Neville as the face. I think he's pretty over with the crowd. And, I mean, he used the Red Arrow, which is, like, his, like, big flashy move. Yeah. And, like, he really only... We've talked about how he only, like, breaks that out to, like, when he really needs it or to, like, pop the crowd. So if he's going to turn face, then, like, it would make him sense. But I don't know. It just, like, his character is still so just, like, he's a dick. He's a jerk, you know? And... I don't know if that character will necessarily translate to working face super well, but
hey,
I don't know.
Do you remember Austin Aries?
I do remember Austin Aries. Been thinking about trying to get his book. It's probably interesting.
Food Fight. About being a vegan fighter.
I like to eat vegetables.
He fights vegans.
And wrestling. He fights vegans. Yeah, I don't know.
What's he doing now?
I don't know. Promoting his book, I guess. That's all I really.
This is completely
know.
Out the game.
Huh? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I a lot of times, like, when people leave the WWE, they have to sign, like, a sort of non-compete clause, especially if they break a contract early or something
like
that.
Like a no-contact kind of thing.
Yeah, it's basically, like, you can't go wrestle in TNA the next night or something like that, because that would be bad business for them.
I bet Austin Aries was wrestling through some TNA, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh. No.
It's because he's got a successful book.
Ah, yes.
Everybody loves that.
Everybody loves that.
Ladies
love a successful author. The other thing that's interesting, like, the interesting thing about Neville is, like, he was working face for a really long time, and, like, no one was really caring about him. So, like, him turning heel was initially very weird, but, like, he's really come into that role, and I think, like, been really successful in it, and I think he's, like, one of the best heels in the WWE right now.
Do you think it's time for him to go back to being a face? And
well,
just...
I don't think he could just switch back to that gimmick, partially because it wasn't really much of a gimmick. It was more of just a, like, he never really had much of a character. It was just kind of like,
well, what's his character now?
He's the king of the cruiserweights, and he's an angry troll man, and everyone else is beneath him, or something like that.
All right.
He's better than everyone. I don't know. I mean,
I feel like his gimmick is one that I actually like, where it's just, I'm a fighter. I'm sure. Here to fight. I'm a prize fighter and I'm good at it. And so that's what I want to do. I want to fight everybody just to prove that I'm the best at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that it was kind of that too, but it was just like a more, I guess, like, sort of watered down version of that. And also, like, a good guy version of that. Just like, I'm just looking for a good fight.
Who
Aw,
would
shucks.
You like to see him feud with?
Not
cruiserweights, because I don't know who any of them are.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, that's the thing, is I don't really see a place for him. I mean, I think seeing, like, a Neville Braun Strowman feud would be pretty incredible, or a Neville Brock Lesnar feud would be pretty incredible. But I also don't, like, he's not really even at that level, you know. Like, it wouldn't make sense for him to pivot.
He's
right
a very
there.
Good fighter, but I don't think they could sell me on Neville beating Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, one of the feuds myself and a lot of other people have always wanted to see is Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. And, you know, Brock Lesnar definitely dwarfs Daniel Bryan, but, like, Daniel Bryan has the pedigree to make that seem legit. And it makes it, like, he's, you know, he's won the championship before. He's won the Universal Championship before. Well, not the Universal Championship, but he's won the combined World Heavyweight and World Championship titles before. And, you know, he's wrestling some big matches. He's got a long career and shown that he can, you know, work with just about anybody. And so it makes sense. It's always seemed like it would be a really good and interesting match. It's partially because their styles are so dramatically different, but it doesn't seem like infeasible for him to be able to win.
I guess that's kind of why, like, so Dean Ambrose had a fight against Mr. Braun Strowman this week, and it wasn't the clobber fest that it should have been.
Yeah.
And I guess it kind of makes sense because, like you were saying, their fighting styles are so different.
Yeah, right.
Dean was kind of just, like, running around and kind of outpacing Braun.
Yeah,
more totally. So than actually outfighting him.
Totally. And I mean, I think that they handled this really well, because like most people that Brock Lesnar, or I'm sorry, that Braun Strowman fights, he just immediately squashes. But if he did that to Dean Ambrose, that would like really hurt his legitimacy, both as like a tag team champion and also as a former WWE champion. So I think like having them work a decently long match, and like, you know, having Dean kind of have the upper hand at a few points, like really right. did a lot to sort of, it, I don't think it hurts Braun's legitimacy at all, but I think it like, it doesn't hurt Dean Ambrose's legitimacy, which is, I think, a problem you could run into in that scenario. By like having him get squashed by this guy, it could make Dean seem like a less legit fighter or something like that. I also feel like it kind of makes sense with Dean's character, because he's like crazy man, always getting himself into trouble. He's a lunatic and not always thinking. For him to like go into that situation, I think like it makes a lot of sense that he would do that kind of thing.
Do you know who's not a lunatic though, and who's not that? Always getting himself into trouble? Do you know who I might say is predictable?
Who's that?
Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Well, what makes you say that?
Well, Dean said it.
Oh, yeah, I guess he did say that. I already forgot about that.
Yeah, so there was this backstage bit where Seth was like, Dean, why did you just let Braun Strowman beat your ass? Like, that was insane. And Dean was like, well, you're predictable, man. Like what are you, the Kingslayer? Blah, blah, blah. And then Seth was like, all right, I'll do something unpredictable. I'm going to fight Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
or right. I'm going to fight Seth.
I'm going to fight, Braun Strowman,
that guy.
Yeah.
And then I thought it'd be very cool if it became a feud between the tag team champs versus Braun Strowman.
For the tag team championship.
For the tag team championship. It's Braun Strowman and Braun Strowman versus the tag team champions.
That would be pretty incredible if he ends up winning both titles.
And he's just like, why won't these guys leave me alone?
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I thought this was good. Like, I like that they're kind of, like, playing up the sort of internal tension. This is, like, sort of good-natured, right? Like, they're not, like, actually fighting. They're just kind of, like, this is just, like, good-natured buddies, like,
right.
gamesmanship, trying to one-up each other kind of stuff. Like, but I think it's, like, it's interesting and compelling. And, like, again, I think it also kind of speaks to Dean's character, which I think is, like, one of the things they've done the worst job of getting over is like, or not even getting over, but just like telling that story of like, they always call Dean Ambrose the lunatic fringe.
The lunatic fringe.
Yeah. But like, he doesn't really do anything that is that like crazy or anything
no,
like that.
No, he's kind of like an a-hole.
Yeah, exactly. Bit. Exactly. Like, he's a little bit of a sort of like a risk taker.
A loose cannon. Even, yeah.
Yeah. But like,
he's unpredictable.
Right. But not really. But I think that, like, the things that he's been doing the past couple of weeks, there was something that he did, and I'm totally forgetting what it is now, but there was something that he did in the No Mercy Tag Team Championship match that, like, I was like, this is the most, like, lunatic thing that he has ever done, and it made the most sense, or I can't remember exactly what it was. I think, like, he either, like, he played possum at some point and was just kind of, like pretending he was knocked out in order to catch Sheamus and Cesaro by surprise, or, like, he ran into the ring when, like, they clearly had the upper hand or something like that. I don't know. He did something. It's just given me kind of, like, it seems like they're kind of doing a better job of, like, actually building Dean's character. It's funny because it's taken, like, 3 years.
I was going to say, after how long?
Yeah, but it seems like they're finally kind of moving in that direction. But it does seem like the big thing that they're moving in the direction of is doing some kind of S.H.I.E.L.D. reunion, possibly.
I was going to ask you that. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, so there was like a rumor that was kind of flying around that they were going to do a S.H.I.E.L.D. match at TLC, and it was going to be the S.H.I.E.L.D. versus someone in a Tables, Ladders, and Chairs match.
And to recap, the S.H.I.E.L.D. is
the S.H.I.E.L.D. Dean Ambrose,
Seth Rollins, and the Big Dog, Roman Reigns.
The Big Dog, Roman Reigns, yes, that is correct. Yeah, they were a faction that was together a few years ago. They were amazing. They were super dominant and really, really fun to watch. And then they've all obviously gone their separate ways and had mixed success, but mostly success at their various roles. And yeah, there's been some rumors flying around that they were going to do some kind of reunion. Obviously, Seth and Dean are like actively working together again, which is like, you know, 2/3 of the way there. And there was a lot. There's been someone like said that they got like a leaked card for what they're planning to do for TLC, and it involved a 3-on-3 the Shield versus someone else match. But I don't think that they had decided what the opponent was yet.
Would it be the Miztourage?
That's what it seems like. But like, I don't know. That doesn't seem very legit to me because, like, Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas are not very good.
Well, did you watch the Miz TV segment?
I did, yes.
This week? Okay, so Roman Reigns was on Miz TV being interviewed by The Miz, mm-hmm. and The Miz basically calls him out and is like, what, are you going to do a Shield reunion? Like,
yeah, right.
The Miztourage would destroy you guys or whatever. And Roman is just like, LOL.
Yeah.
I don't even think so at all. And even I was like, LOL, like that yeah, would just yeah, be yeah. a joke. Like, you can't, it's The Miz who's not the best at wrestling.
Right.
And it's two guys who are not known for being famous wrestlers yeah, versus right, like right. three of the biggest names in the WWE right
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I just thought it'd be very funny. But yeah, all of this stuff made me think like, oh yeah, are they building towards a Shield reunion?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they certainly teased it at the, like, after the Miztourage came and beat down Roman Reigns, they stood over top of him and did, like, the Shield's little pose
yeah, yeah.
thing. Yeah.
I was watching that, and I thought, is that the Shield thing? And then I looked thought, it up, and it
this
was.
This is probably something. This is relevant, this looks huh? like it means something.
Well, the other thing that I thought was, so at No Mercy, mm-hmm. Roman beat John Cena.
He did.
And then John Cena raised his arm in the air,
uh-huh.
as we predicted, and as uh-huh. you predicted, everybody booed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can't use The Rock, you can't even use John Cena to yeah. get Roman Reigns over. And so as this whole Miz TV thing was happening and they were talking about maybe reuniting the Shield,
yeah.
my thought was, is the only reason that they have Seth and Dean working together again is so that they could build up to a potential Shield
wow.
reunion, anticipating that even John Cena couldn't put Roman Reigns over.
Wow. They're really just, yeah.
Was WWE, is it like their plan C? Like, are they just trying to, like, they're moving all these pieces together so that they can really just
yeah.
throw everything behind Roman Reigns to put him over?
Yeah, just get Seth and Dean super over just so that they can, like, they can stand on either side of him and point to him
right,
after
yeah.
at the end of TLC. Yeah, it seems like that's what's going on here. That sucks.
I feel like, though, if, like, the crowd had, like, really just fell in love with Roman
yeah.
after John Cena raised his arm up,
yeah.
then I feel like they maybe wouldn't be going
they
towards
yeah,
this. They would have been like, all right, cool, we nailed it. We finally
yeah,
got
yeah.
it. But now they're like, all right, let's keep it going.
Yeah.
Keep this train rolling.
I feel like they could have still even done that, because, I mean, it'll still be cool. The other thing is, like, I think the part of the reason that they're moving in this direction is because I think that, like, Brock Lesnar is not going to be around for a while, and he's the title holder. So, like, they kind of need to find other things for their sort of top guys to do.
I also feel like, shouldn't they probably put a title on Roman?
I mean, there's just no titles to give right now.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean. So, well, if you join the tag team that already has the title, then are you suddenly
are you a tag team? Well, maybe. I mean, if they formally like reunite them.
What does formally mean?
I mean, they would change costumes. They would go back to the Shield costumes. They would go back to the Shield sort of entrance music. And basically,
okay. What about Seth and Dean though? What makes them mm-hmm. formally a tag team? Just that they fight together.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they would have to compete in more than one match too, I think would be the thing. Like,
what if they break up right now?
If Seth and Dean break up right now?
Yeah.
Then they're no longer a tag team.
Do they retain the title though?
Does
somebody have to beat them together to
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, like, I mean, I think in kayfabe, like, if these two, like, got in a fight and weren't speaking anymore, like, the manager of Raw would still be obligated to put them into matches, and they would still be obligated to work those matches because it's their job.
Right.
So, like, they might not be getting along, which maybe would give them a disadvantage, and maybe they would lose the titles because of that. But, like,
that has happened.
I don't think so.
It has to have happened.
I don't think so. I don't think that there's ever been, like, I don't know.
That storyline has had to have happened.
I mean, there have certainly been tag teams that have, like, lost matches because they haven't been able to get their chemistry right. Like, that was a big thing with Sheamus and Cesaro, is, like, for a long time, they had like, a best-of-seven feud that was going for a while. Like, they wrestled seven different matches, and, like, and the last one ended in a tie or something like that. So it was, like, this whole big thing.
Against each other?
Yeah, against each other.
Okay.
And it was basically just, like, we have these two guys, and we don't know what to do with them. So we're going to put them in a very long feud with each other.
Right.
And then what they ended up doing is, like, they pivoted them, and, like, they basically, the story was, like, that they they worked together so much and they learned each other so well that they finally figured out that they could be like better together and like became a team because of that.
That's kind of cool.
It's cool. It's a really cool story, actually. They honestly didn't tell it very well, but it's a good narrative. To some extent, they did. They kind of ran that same thing back with Dean and Seth, but it worked out a little bit better because they weren't getting along. They weren't getting along, and then finally they
it was way gayer.
It was way gayer. That is true. As the fan fiction has shown us, but yeah, like, and there were plenty of matches that, like, when Sheamus and Cesaro were first getting together, that they lost because they couldn't get on the same page or something like that. And there was a lot of times where, like, they would, like, you know, blind tag themselves in because there was like, no, I want to win this match. No, I want to win this match. And then that would always end in, like, something getting fucked up and they would lose. And then finally they figured out how to work together and they became champions and are still together and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, I suppose they could have that go like the opposite direction. But again, I still feel like losing the championship in that way would be like really, really bizarre. I don't know. Maybe they've done it before. I don't know.
If we're gonna talk about Sheamus and Cesaro, I feel like we should address the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
There's an elephant in the room, and that elephant is missing a couple of teeth.
What happened at No Mercy, Matt?
So at No Mercy,
what happened?
So at No Mercy, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose wrestled Sheamus and Cesaro in an amazing match.
It was pretty good.
Probably my favorite match.
Pretty long.
It was a doozy. It was a good one. About halfway through the match.
I think it was a lot earlier than that.
You think earlier than that?
Yeah.
Early on in the match, at some point during the match, in the beginning half, we'll say.
Sure.
Cesaro got thrown into the corner and was supposed to like his belly was supposed to land on sort of the top turnbuckle. And so he did that, but he didn't really predict how far his head was going to fly forward. And it hit the top of the ring post and pushed his two front teeth a few millimeters back into his gums. This is what I learned watching Raw this week. They didn't bend. They didn't crack. The teeth did not break. They did not bend forward. They did not bend backward. They just went straight up into his gums.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
And they had to use like...
I thought they were broken.
Nope.
Oh, I wish they were broken.
And then they had to do surgery to pull them back out.
Oh.
Pull them back out one by one.
Oh.
And then do surgery to get them to stay there.
Oh, God.
I had to listen to this, and now I have to have you experience this. There was so much blood.
His face was covered in it. The ring was covered in it. They were all just rolling around. Just
rolling around in it.
Cesaro's mouth blood.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wrestling used to be so much bloodier. WWE used to be so much bloodier. Like, this kind of stuff would happen all the time. It was crazy.
The thing about this, though, is that, like, I'm pretty sure it was Seth rolled him off of him. Like, Seth was on the ground, and he kind of rolled...
Oh, yeah.
Cesaro. And then Cesaro, like, was flung into the post. But it was from, like, halfway in the ring. And I felt like Cesaro was, like, using his own momentum. Like, I feel like he could have easily stopped himself from slamming his face into the post.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally think he flung himself too far and too hard. Like it's 100%. Like, I don't think this was, like...
It's not like somebody else messed up a move and it like
exactly.
it damaged him. He
exactly.
just like straight up ran into it on his own volition and did more damage. Oh my God, it was so rough.
It was. It was really bad. It was very funny. I was texting Ron and he was having a real rough time.
Oh.
It was very funny.
I hated it so much. I thought he broke his teeth and I was going to tell a story about breaking my teeth.
Oh, I would love to hear about you breaking
your
teeth.
Have I not talked about this?
I don't think so.
Yeah, one of my front teeth, this guy right here.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom half of it is fake.
It was for those listening at home. It was Ron's front right tooth.
Yeah, I don't know what those are called.
Front teeth.
Yeah, sure. my bunny teeth.
Your buck teeth.
Yeah, I was in gym class in middle school. We were playing flag football. My face smashed into the top of another student's head.
Oof!
I lost a tooth.
Oofa-doofa.
Here's the thing. I can't remember the other guy's name, but it was
part of
Casey.
Your tooth is embedded in
his
skull permanently.
No, his name was Casey, and I'm fairly certain it was Casey Jones, but that's also the name of the guy from Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, right.
And so, like, I don't know if that was actually the guy's name that I went to middle school with.
Or if you've somehow misassociated these names with each other.
Right.
That's funny.
So anyway...
You cracked your tooth.
I'm sure that didn't feel good on your head.
Yeah, probably not.
But now I have this fake tooth that I have to deal with literally every day.
Nice.
Can't eat apples. Can't bite into apples
really?
Anymore.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
I lost it once. biting into an apple.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow. Do you just like kind of pull it out and stick it back on there, or how does that work?
No, I went to the dentist and had him put a new one on. Like, I see. It broke off.
Interesting. When I was a kid, I was eating a slice of pizza and one of my baby teeth came out and I just swallowed it and I had no idea.
Yeah, but then it grew back.
Yeah, it did.
That's the difference between my permanent damage
between
and
your
Cesaro.
Permanent adult teeth.
So what's going on with Cesaro? Is he just good now? His teeth are still there?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that I saw a picture of him wearing a mouth guard, which is probably for the best.
Sheamus had a match with somebody.
Yeah, this week with Seth Rollins.
Oh, it was Seth Rollins. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was
because Dean wrestled Braun. Yeah.
And Cesaro was running around on the sidelines wearing a suit, looking very nice. It looked like a stitched up lip.
Yeah.
He had, but he also, I noticed he wasn't like saying anything or smiling.
Do you think his like jaw was wired shut or something?
I wasn't sure if that was the case or if. Because this was on Monday Night Raw, which was the day after the incident, had he not had time to go to the dentist yet? Like, when did the surgery happen?
I think that the way that they indicated it on the commentary was that he was like going to have surgery soon. So I don't think that he had had it yet.
Gotcha. So I think they were probably keeping his mouth closed to not horrify everyone.
Yeah, probably true. Also, probably hurts a little bit. Maybe he just didn't want to.
Oh my god! You know,
maybe he's just in some pain and wasn't feeling very expressive.
Somebody in the crowd was holding up a sign that was shaped like a milk carton, and it said "missing," like the side of the milk carton.
Yeah, like their want to do.
And it was a picture of Cesaro and his open mouth without teeth
and his missing teeth. Yeah, I mean, at the same time, like as gross and horrifying as this was. Like, enormous props to Cesaro for being able to, like, still wrestle a complete match after going through all of that.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that. Like, woof. I can't imagine doing, like, most of the things that wrestlers can do. But, like,
I gotta catch my breath.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, it was, I mean, it was a great match. I just love him. Just love that boy.
It was so
just
much
love that
blood.
Good Swiss boy. It was so really surprising. Blood. Like, a lot of blood for like a relatively small injury and like a relatively small, I mean, not a small injury, but like, I wouldn't think that your gums would produce that much daggum blood.
There was a point where like near the end of the match where it just showed his face, like he was outside of the ring or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was blood like up on his eyebrows and shit. Like his face was covered in his own blood.
Oh yeah. It's truly wild. So gotta be so unsanitary too.
Yeah, right?
I have to imagine, like, someone's gotten real sick from that kind of stuff before.
I was surprised that you, like, it was on the mat of the ring. I was surprised that you couldn't see it just, like, on Sheamus's back. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's very white, and the blood was very red.
Yeah. A lot of times they'll actually, like, between matches, they'll change out that canvas if something like that happens, so.
Hey, let's talk about literally anything else.
Okay, cool.
Please.
I do want to talk more.
I'm going to go join the Malteser in death right now.
There you go. I do want to talk more about the Roman Reigns John Cena thing, and I kind of want to get a feel for like what you thought of like the fallout from that. I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, but
I don't know how much of the fallout I witnessed. But go ahead and prompt me.
Sure. So I mean, the match ended. John Cena raised Roman Reigns' hand. Did you watch any of the stuff that from Raw Talk?
God, I watched Enzo's interview, which was the worst fucking piece of television I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, right.
And then I watched about half of, I watched a few things. I watched about half of John Cena's, like, talking about his respect for Roman and, like, how he was genuinely fighting just, like, a tough match and all this stuff. But I didn't have the emotional response that you did.
John Cena got very emotional, which made me get very emotional.
Maybe I wasn't paying too much attention, or maybe I cut it off before this really started happening.
Yeah, I mean, basically, like, the way that this match ended, it definitely sort of indicated that John Cena was, like, done and maybe retiring. And on this Raw Talk thing, they asked him about that, like, what does this mean? It seemed like you were kind of having a moment in the ring there, and he was like, he basically said, like, I'm not done, but I'm certainly taking, like, a big step back from what's going on right now. And, you know, he talked a lot about how to, like, this torch doesn't get passed. He said the torch gets taken, and he felt like Roman Reigns took it tonight, which, I mean, a lot of that I feel like is just kind of, like, ham-fisted, like, trying to put Roman over.
Hey, yeah, sure.
But yeah, he was basically saying, like,
it was a good match, though. I mean,
It was a solid match. It was good. I didn't like the finish, but it was a good match. And yeah, it was just like a lot of him, like, I don't know, John Cena just got like very emotional talking about the fact that like, he's not going to be as big a part of this as he once was. And he was like, I've been doing this for 15 years. I'm 40 years old now. And like, you know, he talked about how like how he's been doing this for 15 years at an elite level, which is pretty, I mean, 15 years is a long time to do anything. It's a long time to be a professional athlete. And to be at the top of your game for like basically 15 years, that's pretty incredible too. And like he's never really had, like he's been sidelined a few times with injuries and stuff like that, but he's not really a ton. He's not missed a ton of time over the years. And yeah, he was just like talking about walking away from that and how weird that was going to be. And it was just really weird. I've had this sort of like come to Jesus moment with John Cena over the past few years, months. And just like when I got back into wrestling, I really didn't like John Cena. And I've just like I think many people have, I've really like come around on him and realized just like how important he is to the company, how important he is to like the sport and the art form and the form of entertainment and all that kind of stuff.
I think we've talked about this a little before. He is like, I guess like the face of the WWE.
Yeah. And absolutely.
More so than just like a spokesman, but he's like, I feel like he's a very good representation of what wrestling is or like what it can be if it's like done really well and just done as a pure like form of entertainment rather than trying to be like, oh, it's badass, it's wrestling. It's like, it has this other side where it could just be like really fun and a really good show. And I feel like Cena is good at that. And like people like your parents know who John Cena is just because he's just part of the culture now.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good observation. Like WWE does not always have the most like athletic matches. They do not always like employ the most athleticism in the way that they book their matches. They're not super into doing the like flippy stuff that is a big deal in a lot of indie matches and stuff like that. But they're really good at just like telling a good story both inside the ring and outside of it. And I think John Cena really does like sort of epitomize that, even though some of his stories have been, you know, bad. But like at the end of the day, he's the best, I think, at telling a story on the mic and then telling a story in the ring and making both of those seem really, really compelling. This promo really felt like, or I don't know, conversation, interview, like it just really felt like it was like truly the end of an era. And for me, like, having spent so much time with this over the years, it was like a really, really bizarre thing to be like, this is like a significant change. Like if John Cena is not like a regular part of this, that really does like change what the WWE is. And it's like, it's kind of exciting because I'm like excited for them to figure out how they, you know, work through new territory. But at the same time, it's like really, really weird and really bizarre. Like, I don't know if John Cena is going to be at WrestleMania, and that hasn't happened in like 10 years, probably.
He'll probably be there.
But he might not have a match, you know? He might just be like there as like a sort of spokesperson. He might be there to like put Ronda Rousey over or something like that. Who knows? Boy.
The one thing that really threw me off about the actual match between him and Roman Reigns, there was a point towards the end where he went out and he cleared a couple announcer tables and like set Roman up to do an
AA.
An AA. I was going to say an F5. It starts the same way. And then Roman got the better of him. This was weird to me because I feel like clearing off an announcer table to put somebody through it is a very heel move, and it just doesn't seem very John Cena to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't disagree with you there. And this is another match that's weird because like both people are sort of essentially working face.
Right. It just felt like Cena got to a point where he was like, you know what, fuck this. Like, I'm going to kill this guy now.
Yeah, right.
I'm done with this.
I mean, it is to some extent the story that they're telling is like, I keep trying to do everything I can to put this guy away and like nothing seems to work. So it's like, you know, I've done the AA, right? I've done two AAs in a row. I've done an AA off the top rope. I've done now like the only thing
I've done my only move.
I've done my only move.
Stop.
And you won't stop. Yeah. And then Roman Reigns countered it and put him through it too, which I mean, also kind of like a heel thing to do. But I guess like taking advantage of a situation is more of a more face like than that is a heel move. I don't know. I mean, to some extent, this is what we do. This is the rules. We do what we have to win, kind of thing. Anyway.
This is wrestling.
The thing that, like, kind of annoyed me about this whole thing is I really wish that Roman would have, like gone the other direction the following night. Of, like, rather than be like, John Cena earned my respect.
I beat his ass.
Yeah,
blah,
beat that
blah,
motherfucker.
Blah.
I'm the best. Like, yeah. I think that the most compelling thing that about his character lately has been him being this sort of like cocky asshole, and for him to just like, I don't know. It just, like, I keep thinking that the WWE is, like, learning from this thing and, like, learning, like, figuring out, like, different ways to use Roman and stuff like that, but it just, like, it ain't happening. He also, man, he really needs a different finisher. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Like, John Cena hit, like, 45 AAs on Roman Reigns, and, like, none of them put him away. And then, like, all Roman Reigns does is tackle him once, a spear, and spear. Punch him once, a Superman punch. And, like, that does it. Like, I'm sorry. I know that the AA is not, like, the most, like, impressive move. It's not the craziest thing in the world, but, like, it's at least a fucking move. It's not just a tackle.
Right. No, I totally agree. Speaking of punches, though, mm-hmm. This is something I've been thinking about. I want to see Braun Strowman just punch somebody. Like, right in the ribs, right in the gut.
You never
see him do that. He always picks you up and throws you down and stuff like that. I just want to see him just straight up punch somebody in the gut. Just make them vomit right there. Like, that's...
They just immediately puke all over him. And he rubs it all over his face and just goes, yeah.
The monster.
I am the monster. Did you see the thing he did with Curt Hawkins before his match with Dean Ambrose?
Yes, I did.
Watching that... So Curt Hawkins is this jobber. He calls out someone. He's like, I want to fight. I'm gonna get a win tonight.
What's a jobber?
What's that?
I don't think you've used the term jobber on the show before.
Oh, really? Okay. A jobber is basically someone that, like, he is the person that loses to put someone else over. So he's the person that, like, loses so that another guy gets
like
a win.
Bullshit NPC.
Yeah, basically. And, like, yeah. Like,
an NPC
like,
is a non-player character in a video
character.
Game.
Yeah.
If I'm going to make you explain what a jobber is, I should probably cover what an NPC is.
Probably fair. And then, like Curt Hawkins is, like, a sort of perpetual jobber in that, like, he always is the person that is losing to, like, help other people win or whatever, or help other people get their
That's why
over.
He was bitching about it, because he was like, I'm done losing. Who wants to challenge me?
Well, someone went out and, like, calculated his losing streak, and it's like 300 matches in a row or something like that.
Nice.
And he...
He's the next Bray Wyatt.
Exactly. And then they have worked that into canon now, and so now he's, like, he was, like, all of his promos are like, all right, I'm finally going to end this losing streak. Like, I'm ready to win or whatever. And he's like, I'm going to show you who my next opponent is. And then someone comes out and, like, he gets his ass beat or whatever. This time, it was Braun Strowman, and he really, really got his ass beat. The point I wanted to make...
He ran away.
He did run away, but
Braun
Strowman
came out,
caught him.
And Kurt ran away.
Yeah. But Braun Strowman caught him because he's the fastest man alive, and then proceeded to he put him through a table, and then he just hurled him like onto the ramp.
Oh yeah!
And it was in that moment that I decided that is something I really would like to do with my life. I would just really like to be thrown by Braun Strowman. I think that those few seconds of just floating through the air, like completely out of control, would just be like a really like kind of blissful moment.
What if his name was Braun Throwman? And he always just quoted Thoreau. That's his new gimmick. And then he throws you.
He's a naturalist. That's what when he like formally turns face, he's gonna become like a hippie naturalist kind of guy. And then he's gonna see people that aren't recycling and just lose his mind.
What do you know about Walden? What do you know about Walden Pond?
And then he throws you. And then he tosses a book at you and says, "Read this.
Read up, bitch."
Something like that.
Country strong.
Country strong.
That's him, right?
That's his
tattoo.
Yeah, he's got the outline of North Carolina, and then Country Strong.
Yeah, I'd like to get tossed by Braun.
Wouldn't it be fun? I was thinking about like it'd be like 3 seconds where you're just like just flying through the air, not a care in the world, and then you would like hit something very hard, and that would suck. But like those few moments seem really nice.
Is that your if a wrestler was going to do one thing, if you could get one move?
Oh, yeah.
Done to you.
I think that'd be it.
That would be it.
I think so.
You wouldn't go with like an F5? Like you wouldn't go with a bank statement?
No, I don't think so. A bank statement, I think, would actually hurt a lot. And I think kind of an F5 would, too. I think there seems to be more, like, I don't know. There
I feel
to be
like
more
you get some
momentum.
Hang time with an F5, too, though. Like,
oh, yeah,
you're,
for
you're
sure.
just in the air for a minute before you fall flat on your back.
But at the whole time, I'm being held by Brock Lesnar, and I don't think that is necessarily an experience that I want. And I think also like the sort of grip of his arms around my skull, that seems like I would be uncomfortable.
I kind of want to experience Braun's running power slam, mm-hmm. where he just picks you up, carries you for a little bit, and then flies through the air with you,
sets you down forcefully. I think the thing is that it brought me back to like being a child, And I thought about like when my dad or my uncle would like throw me into the pool or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I think for a moment I was just taken back to that place. And I was like, that was nice. Life was simpler.
And then you just hit the concrete.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, Braun Strowman to Curt Hawkins is probably similar to like my dad and my uncles when I was like a child and being thrown in the pool, like in sort of a size comparison thing. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. It just took me back to that place.
What about like a Big Show choke slam where you're just 90 feet up in the air?
I think that would be good.
Just
I think
hanging
I'd be
there
fine
for
with
a
that.
Minute, looking around and.
Like, I also feel like
enjoying the view.
Having Big Show's big old mitt on my chest would be like a really interesting experience. Of like, I imagine that the sort of width of his hand is about equivalent to the width of my chest.
Like when you go to like a museum and it's like, this is the size of a gorilla's paw, and you can put your hand up on it. And
it would be like that kind of thing, but also it would be around my throat, and I'd be like, you could kill me now, and then he would just slam me down. It'd be great. I love it. I also don't think Brock Lesnar like doesn't seem like people always get hurt when they wrestle Brock Lesnar like in real life, and I don't want that to happen. He doesn't seem very safe to me. Braun Strowman seems like he actually really cares about people, and he wants to throw them, but wants to make sure that they land okay. And I think the same is pretty true with Big Show. So I want those big men to beat me up, not Brock Lesnar.
That's fair. I mean, Brock is a pretty big man, but
he is.
There are others. They're more.
There are bigger.
They're
boys.
Gentler big men.
That is true.
Oh boy.
Should we talk about SmackDown?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, let's talk about SmackDown. So we're building...
Not a lot.
Not a lot going happened. On, which is weird because there's a pay-per-view...
In like a minute.
Like a week away.
Yeah.
Like there's.
Well, I guess they have this coming week to like
to
add
sort
more
of,
stuff.
Yeah, and put the cap on all the feuds. The go-home show, if you will. But yeah, it's coming up very quick. And I don't know. I don't feel super... jazz for it. I mean, I am really excited for the Kevin Owens Shane McMahon match. That's going to be real cool. And the build towards that is going, I think, pretty well.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of development on that, or like more. They're really trying to make Kevin look like the bad guy here.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh, which he is.
Yeah,
but they're like really just he's healing out on everybody these days.
Yeah.
Not just the people he dislikes.
Yeah, and I really like that they're sort of like. They're weaving in this thing where, like, Kevin is sort of, like, losing control. Like, he's been almost, like, driven mad by all of this stuff. And, like, he just, like, he beat up Sami Zayn, which is something that he does a lot. But he just, like, he, like, took it to, like, another level in the way that he beat him up and stuff like that. And he did, so Shane McMahon eventually came out to make the save for Sami Zayn. But Kevin Owens defended this by just, I didn't catch how he did this, but he put a chair around Sami Zayn's neck.
Yeah.
And then just like
he was
going to
kill Sami Zayn.
Yeah, decapitate him.
He was
going to
decapitate Sami Zayn.
And instead he just pushed him into Shane McMahon, and then Shane McMahon fell down, go boom.
Yeah, and then
Kevin ran away.
And Kevin ran, like, literally ran away. There was a lot of, like, moving into the crowd this week,
There was. Kurt did that thing, too.
Yeah. He, like, ran way the fuck away and, like up a ramp. And there were just, like, people patting him on the shoulders and stuff and trying to comfort him and calm him down, you know, bring him down.
It's going to be okay, Kevin. The bad man's gone.
And that was kind of the end of the segment, so I don't know what happened on the actual show.
Yeah, I mean, that was basically, like, the show started out with Kevin Owens, like, talking. The big sort of, like, punchline to his promo at the beginning of the show was that he said, like, that's what I did to Vince McMahon, and he's someone that I like and I respect.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, think about what I'm going to do to you, someone that I don't like, someone that I don't respect, kind of thing.
Yeah, it was pretty cold.
And then Sammy came out to interrupt him and be like, he was like, dude, like, I know that we've had our differences.
He was like, come on, man.
Yeah. I mean, that was basically it. He's like, I know we've had our differences. I know that we don't always get along, but I've known you for 15 years, and you've gotten to a place that I've, like, never seen you before. You've lost control, and you're losing it. And, like, you got to take a step back from this ledge kind of thing. I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. I would understand. And that ended up...
He should probably cut ties from the lies he's been living in, right?
That's what I'm saying. And then that led to a match at the end of, like, they made a match for the sort of main event of SmackDown of Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens, which is a match we've seen many, many times. But again, Kevin Owens, like, took it to another level, and he powerbombed Sami Zayn onto the ring apron, which is a nice, it would hurt a lot, first of all, but it's also a nice callback because that's what happened when Kevin Owens debuted. Sami Zayn was at that point I think he was the NXT champion, or at least he was feuding for the NXT championship. And then Kevin Owens came back. It was looking like they were going to be friends. And then he turned on him immediately, beat the shit out of him, and, like, in kayfabe, injured him to the point that he couldn't compete anymore. And then, like, was off air for a long time, and then finally, like, came back in a sort of thing. So anyway, it was just, like, that was the sort of, like, nail in the coffin in the original feud was Kevin Owens powerbombed Sami Zayn onto that ring apron, and they were like, that's what caused him to get so injured that he couldn't compete anymore. And so this was like a sort of nice callback to that.
I like how in real life, Sami and Kevin are like pretty good friends.
Oh, they're like actual best friends.
But in kayfabe, Kevin hates him so much for no apparent reason.
Yeah, right. He just thinks he's annoying or whatever. Like the only sort of discernible thing that he said about like a specific thing he doesn't like about Sami Zayn is the fact that Sami Zayn made it to WWE before he did. And so he's like jealous of that kind of thing.
But he's also like, you were here for years before me and you didn't get anything.
And I've already done so much more than you, which, to be fair, is not really Sammy's fault. Sammy's been working his tail off, and they just like really haven't given him anything.
But that one looked like it cut a little deep.
Oh, though. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that they're both on the, like, everybody that seems to be sort of on the same page with Sammy of, like, you are very talented, and we want you to get more work, but it just, like, hasn't worked out. Like, Daniel Bryan says on Twitter all the time that, like, he's like, I wish there's more that we could do with Sami Zayn, but, like, that's not really in my control kind of thing. So I think that everybody is kind of, like, on the same page of that. Like, it's not that Sami Zayn is not working hard. It's just, like, he's not being booked into any of the right feuds or, you know, being booked the right way or anything like that.
Yeah.
Which sucks. Doesn't really make it any better.
Well, as we said, not a lot happened on SmackDown this week. Yeah. But do you know who had a big week on SmackDown?
Who did have a big week on SmackDown?
Mr. Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler. You know,
This is the fucking worst.
This is. Okay, so Dolph Ziggler has been doing his thing where he comes out in a bunch of people's entrances and stuff like that, blah, 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 whatever. It's really dumb. But this week he did The Undertaker's entrance, which is like probably the most iconic sort of WWE entrance. And it really sucked because like he, up until like he kind of took the mask or the hat off, like it could have been Undertaker other than the fact that he's like much smaller than him. But like right. The entrance was exactly the same. And like, the first 30 seconds of The Undertaker's entrance, you don't actually see him. Like, they play music, they dim the lights, they do all these, like, sound effects and special effects, and then finally he, like, comes out. It's this, like, big dramatic thing. And, like, nobody popped because, like, everybody's like, oh, it's fucking Dolph Ziggler doing this dumb thing again. And I was like, you guys have really, like, possibly messed up your like your ways to get like huge reactions from the crowd by having him do all this stuff, because like now if like Shawn Michaels came back or like Triple H showed up randomly, they would just be like, oh, it's Dolph Ziggler again.
Yeah,
whoop-de fucking do. Like,
it sucked. He was just like, oh, you guys are just looking for superstars, anybody can be a zombie, a dead man walking out, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And then Bobby Roode comes out and is like, Dolph, you're being a dick,
you're being an idiot. Yeah. He was kind of rude, but he was also right, you know.
So now they're going to fight at Hell in the Cell, and you get that to look forward to, I guess.
Which is weird, because now apparently, like Dolph Ziggler is the guy you have to go through to get from NXT to SmackDown, which is kind of weird, because he did this with Shinsuke Nakamura, too, and now Bobby Roode is kind of taking the same path of, like, he's got to beat up Dolph Ziggler. It's also weird, because, like, theoretically, Bobby Roode is the face in this, and, like, Roode has only ever worked heel, which is weird. And he's also a very, very good and compelling bad guy. So it's going to be weird to see him kind of be a face in this. It should be a good match.
Dolph Ziggler, in a weird way, reminds me of Neil Patrick Harris.
Wow, I've never thought about it, but I see it. I totally see
it. I feel like they could be related. And also, I feel like Dolph Ziggler is like a funny guy, and so is NPH. I feel like that's... like, if I saw Dolph Ziggler on a TV show or something, I would believe it.
Dolphy Houser.
MD. Dolphy Houser.
MD. No, he would be a different kind of
Doogie
doctor.
Ziggler.
Doogie Ziggler. That's way better. Doogie Ziggler, PT. So he's a physical therapist or something like that. I mean, he is also a stand-up comedian, so it kind of explains why he's
mentioned
sort of
that
funny.
Before. I have no interest in whatever he has to say on the...
I've never been able to see any of his, like, actual routines or stuff like that, but the jokes he makes on Twitter are not that good, so...
No?
Yeah. Or, at least, I don't know, he usually just,
There's
like...
There's a difference between, like, comedy and Twitter comedy.
Well, yeah, that's certainly very true.
I don't think comedians are funny on Twitter, but I think...
I think some of them are.
For the most part, though, I think comedians are funny in their medium of being a stand-up comedian on a stage, but there are some funny Twitter people who are very funny on Twitter who I can't imagine them being good in real life at much of anything.
Yeah, at much of anything. Maybe they're decent wrestlers. You never know. Yeah, I don't know. This like this should be a good match. Like, Rude and Ziggler are both, like, very good wrestlers. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, Dolph Ziggler is not wrong in like, the things that he's saying here. I think the stuff about, like, everybody's just looking for, like, a flashy
entrance.
Yeah,
is he the best? Is he the best wrestler?
Well, he's not the best, but he's a very good wrestler, I think. He's one of my favorites.
Okay.
You'll just have to take my word on this one.
He's
not the best.
That's what he's saying.
He's not the best, but he's pretty good.
I think he would be a lot more interesting and a lot better if he had, like, a cool gimmick that he did when he came out to the ring.
You are just the exact WWE fan that Dolph Ziggler is. All of his hatred is directed specifically at you.
I think he's incorrect. I think he needs a cool gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And what if... actually, I just thought of the perfect entrance for him.
Okay, all right.
The Seinfeld music plays, and he just, like, comes out, does, like a really short set.
Like a tight five.
Like a tight 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then he just comes out to the ring. He's like, what's the deal with wrestling? Because that's the only Seinfeld thing I could possibly ever come up with.
Oh, man.
Bees?
He just comes out and goes, no soup for you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That would be great. I would love that. Would really give Wale a lot of material too, because he likes wrestling, writes songs about wrestling, and also writes an entire album about Seinfeld.
Yeah, Wally,
yeah, the
garbage robot.
The garbage robot, the trash bot, There's not much to say about Dolph Ziggler, but there is some things to say.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
No, it's fine. There's some things to say about Jinder Mahal and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay, there are two versions of Jinder.
Sure,
I've been thinking about this.
You mean, like, sort of pre and post getting his crazy body?
There's crazy body Jinder,
mm-hmm.
and there's regular body Jinder.
Sure.
No, there are two versions of Jinder Mahal, I believe. Two versions of this heel. There's the one who is a powerful Indian hero,
mm-hmm.
who I like,
mm-hmm.
and he's kind of a heel in that he's just very arrogant.
He's pompous.
Yeah. He's the modern-day Maharaja.
Yeah,
he's true. The king.
That's true.
Then there is the new version of Jinder Mahal, where he's kind of a racist.
He's kind of racist.
And he's just, like, insulting Shinsuke and making fun of his face.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
Like, it's not a good bit. It's not funny every time he comes out and does this. It's,
yeah.
like, very clearly fake laughing coming from the Singh brothers.
Yeah.
And it's just annoying.
Yeah.
I really like the first version of Jinder Mahal.
I do, too. I don't know why they're having to like there are so many heels and characters that can get over just by being sort of like pompous. I'm better than you.
Dolph Ziggler.
Like, yeah, right. He could just be like, I have more money than you. I have more fans than you. I have the entire nation of India behind me, and you have what? You have nothing. Like, there are things that he could say to put Shinsuke down that aren't like racist or even like making fun of the way he looks or whatever.
Yeah, look
like,
at your face. Look at these pictures of your face.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 4 weeks now. Isn't this funny?
Yeah. No one and like no one reacts live to the picture stuff. Like they kind of boo him a little bit, but it's like mostly they just like don't really care. And then like people kind of react to the racist stuff. And it's like
yep.
I mean, I'm glad that they're not doing the racist stuff, obviously, but like I feel like they should be able to clearly see that the stupid picture thing is not working. And it's like not getting him over. It's not getting this feud over or anything like that.
So what happened this week?
Well, I actually like this. They had a brilliant little gag that they did where Jinder brings up a picture.
He's doing the picture thing.
Doing the picture thing. He brings up another picture. Doing the picture thing. He brings up a third picture. He's doing the picture thing. But then all of a sudden, something moves in the picture.
It was a gif.
Shinsuke's fingers start wiggling and he's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And I guess the idea is that Shinsuke has hijacked his little PowerPoint presentation, put a live camera on himself, and then
it wasn't a still picture, it was him making his own funny face.
It was me all along, which is actually good fodder, because I feel like when you're dealing with a bully, they always like try and tell you, like, you know, they're just trying to get a reaction out of you. So if you're not embarrassed by the way that your face looks,
yeah,
and you just kind of own it. Then, you know, you've killed all their ammunition. This is really a good story about how to overcome bullying at the end of the day. Right?
It's true, yeah. I guess.
Maybe it's not a good story, but...
I mean, it's the greatest story ever told.
Greatest story ever told.
About bullying.
So then Shinsuke makes some threats towards Jinder and then comes out and beats him up. And he's able, like, the Singh brothers attack him and Jinder attacks him. And, you know, it's kind of a 3-on-1 situation. And he's like, you know, looks like he's going to get beat up. But then he overcomes the odds and he beats them up. And then he ends up hitting his finisher on Jinder Mahal.
Hits him with that big quinceañera. And it's, I can never remember the name of that move.
It's called the Kinshasa.
Kinshasa.
Which I have a lot of questions about. Because I've Googled the word Kinshasa before, and
how do you spell it? That's my first question.
K-I-N-S-H-A-S-H-A. No. K-I-N-S-A-S-H-A. Kinshasa, I think.
Kinshasa.
But the thing is the only thing that it comes up is that it is a city in Africa. Like,
okay.
And so I don't.
That's not it.
Right, exactly. It's like, I don't know if it's like an Americanized Japanese word that
Does it also come up that it's Shinsuke Nakamura's finishing move?
Yes, that.
Okay, cool. So you are spelling it correct.
Yeah, I'm not just doing it completely wrong. Yeah, it's like it shows up on like the first thing is like a Google Maps hit of like this is where the city is. Yeah, it's the capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Kinshasa?
Kinshasa.
Are you sure?
Oh, wait.
Kinshasa? It's Kinshasa.
It's Kinshasa. It's not Kinshasa. But Google just corrected me on that.
Quinceañera.
So, it's quinceañera. It's a 15-year-old birthday party. 15-year-old's birthday party. I've always wondered about this. I have no answers. If anybody can explain to me what Kinshasa means, please let me know.
You do. Oh, my God. I don't even want to, like, dive into it. I was gonna ask if you think it's actually a Japanese word, but this is gonna be the worst conversation on
neither
recorded
of us speak
history.
any Japanese.
Hey, do you think
or
this
Congolese?
Is a Japanese word? Do you like what do you think?
Yeah,
there's no point in us having this discussion right now. It'd just be embarrassing.
Yeah,
because someone knows the answer.
Yeah, and it's not us. Well, I just my assumption is that like WWE is just like this word sounds cool, like. I don't know. They're just flipping through a dictionary or something like that and found, like, this sounds cool. Sounds like a kick, kind of. Sure, let's call it this. I don't know.
So what's going on? These two guys are going to fight in, a week. Finally.
Yeah, they're going to fight at Hell in a Cell. I'm kind of wondering if, like, now because this feud is dead in the water in terms of anybody giving a shit about it because they've just made Jinder into a racist caricature, if they're just going to, you know, say fuck it and have Shinsuke win and call it a day. Call it a feud.
I hope so. I'm saying fuck it. And
yeah,
I'm tired
of this.
I'm ready to do a mail. It's mail call time.
It's mail time.
We received a piece of mail several weeks ago, and I keep forgetting to show you.
It's pretty great because Ron usually pulls it out immediately after we stop recording.
I know. Like, oh. I almost did it again this time. Right, the show's over, but now we're going to do this bit. Sorry. Yeah. Going a little long again. another letter from our number one fan.
Our number one fan.
Another pack of cards. 3 cards. Heritage 2016 trading cards based on the iconic 1986 Topps design.
Ooh, this is the one that I got that really sweet Steve Austin card in.
And who do we got on the cover?
We got none other than John Cena.
The Rock.
The Rock and Andre the Giant. Sort of a Mount Rushmore of wrestling greats.
There's like a color error on here, but it looks like Andre's got like a real big nipple just kind of popping up there.
Oh, boy. You see that? He also looks like he has like very bright red lipstick on, which is weird. Yeah, I think that's supposed to be his thumb or something like that.
Why would his thumb be red?
I guess that's a very good question.
He's got the nail polish that matches lipstick.
Yeah, right, of course.
Andre has very kissable lips.
Interesting. I can't say I've ever thought about that.
All right, let's open this up.
Let's open up these bad boys.
We're going to test you. We're going to test Matt's knowledge of very famous wrestlers to see if he knows who they are. This is a very good pack.
Okay, all right.
Actually, who is this?
Well, that's Tyson Kidd.
Damn.
He's my boy.
Who is this?
That's Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Wow.
And these are all clearly classics.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Kevin Owens. It's a very good pack.
So these cards, they're pretty cool. They're stylized to look like the cards from the 80s, as I said. But they're just like brand new boys right up here.
Yeah, it is a little bit the high quality pictures don't really do it justice.
Yeah.
Should send some guy out with like a shitty film camera to get pictures for these.
Well, thanks again. Oh, bonus question. Can you tell me the dimensions of Kevin Owens' body?
Wow. I think it's he's probably about 5 feet 9 inches tall and maybe about 3 feet 8 inches wide.
How many pounds does that translate to?
I'm going to say 285.
Kevin Owens is 6 feet tall.
Okay.
And wow, he is
doesn't look that tall.
266.
Doesn't give his width, though, huh?
No, not the actual width.
Just his weight. What a shame.
And where's he from?
He's from Maryville, Quebec, Canada.
Wow, why did you know that?
Because I know everything.
There you go.
Well, thanks, Ron. Thanks, number one fan.
Thanks, number one.
Sincerely fan. Appreciate it. It's really cool. If you would like to contact us, you can do that at our Twitter page at Blind Tag Cast. You could also do that at our Facebook page, facebook.com/blindtagcast. You can also send us an email, blindtagcast@gmail.com. And you can find us at our website, blindtagcast.com. We've got old episodes there. We've got some notes about us, some more information about the show. All that kind of stuff. If you want to share the show with anybody, that's a great place to point them to. They can listen to the last few episodes, and they can find out more about us, find all the places you can follow us online.
If you have a minute, please rate and subscribe on iTunes. That is the best way for us to get a little more recognition, get some people...
Get some more listeners to the show.
Get some people on us.
Get some people to find our good, good show. We hope that you all enjoy and want others to experience as well.
Unless we're like... What if we're like really cool, like an underground thing?
Ooh, sort of like a hip cool thing.
I'm fine with like a cult following.
Yeah,
yeah,
a dedicated cult following.
So maybe don't tell anybody.
I would like more people to find it.
Okay,
I think our cult could be a little larger. We're going to get a few more members in here.
All right,
that's going to do it for us this week. As always, I am Matt Raddick, and I have been your face.
I'm Ron Del Villano. And I've also been the Malteser. And I've been your heel.
We'll see you next time. What a plot twist. And you're feeling uneasy. 'Cause you fall.